Good morning. Todd Zwillick here, filling in for John Hockenberry this week, and Celeste Headlee is here with me. Well, yesterday, the president signed landmark legislation providing the most sweeping overhaul of the financial system since the Great Depression.
We all win when investors around the world have confidence in our markets. We all win when shareholders have more power and more information. We all win when consumers are protected against abuse.
Everybody wins, right? Well, maybe not quite yet, because hours after that very signing, the Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said in testimony before Congress that it's going to take a lot of time to restore the 8.5 million jobs lost since 2008. And he went on to warn that the economic outlook in this country is still uncertain. Of course it's uncertain. Well, in a few moments, we'll talk with Greg Robb, reporter for MarketWatch.com at the Wall Street Journal, about Bernanke's testimony. But first, we want to go back to Takeaway contributor and personal finance expert Beth Koebleiner, who's here to go down into the fine print and explain how the financial overhaul will help you, the average consumer, a.k.a. the little guy. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
So, Beth, who are the real winners here? We talked a little bit about it before. Has the little guy won in this gigantic bill that the president signed?
I think in many ways the answer is yes. You know, a major cause of the financial crisis is that people didn't know what they're getting into when they're getting a home loan. And for many people, it was when they're getting a credit card or when they were getting student loans. And we've all been tortured by the fine print, you know, and the impacts it's had on our financial lives. So I think the lack of government oversight, abusive practice by lenders and financial firms, and then also the willingness on the part of all of us to, you know, get a loan, get a credit card and not know what we're doing, that's going to change.
So is it just more sunlight? I mean, is it just that the banks and the credit card companies and the mortgage lenders can do everything they were doing before, but now they have to tell you, or are there things they can't do anymore?
Good question. The answer is no. They can't do everything they were doing before. For example, for mortgages, no more of those so-called liar loans or no documentation loans. The idea that you can get a mortgage, but hey, you don't really need income. You don't really need a job. You don't really need assets. Now you have to show that you have enough money to buy a home. It's an interesting concept, right? Bankers have to actually do their work and make sure you can afford a home. Something like credit cards, for example. Now, to use a credit card, there has to be plain English in the statements when you get your credit card. And this organization, this government organization, it's called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, is charged with making sure there's plain English language in all the financial statements you get.
And are we sure that the Consumer Financial Protection Agency is going to be well-funded, well-staffed, and it won't be eviscerated,
right,
and, you know, so that it can't do anything for us in the future?
Well, there's the rub, and that's why consumers, you know, 6 months ago, nobody thought this was going to pass. This is sort of amazing, startling. And there have been many, there's seven different federal agencies that at least I can count that try to or supposedly had been protecting consumers but hadn't really been protecting consumers for years when it comes to finances. Now, because consumers are so angry and have been so upset, there's been enough of a rallying cry to get this through Congress that people have to stay vigilant and make sure this is funded so that they really get to do their job. And I think we're entering a period of consumer awareness in the world of personal finance, and there is advocacy out there. You know, I feel like, you know, there are years when our kids right now would enter a car without putting a car seat, you know, a seatbelt on. There are years where we wouldn't have, you know, cigarette TV commercials. We wouldn't even think of those on TV anymore. And I think there were years when people were very vigilant about consumer finance and making sure we were getting the right information. And that just, you know, disappeared in the last decade. And now I think we have to really demand that we know what we're getting. And hopefully, if we stay vigilant, this Consumer Financial Bureau will really stay on top of it. They're supposed to have a new hotline for consumer complaints, a new Office of Financial Education that will really ensure that people know what they're getting. And I think we're supposed to get a free credit score every time we get turned down for credit, or we don't get the interest rate we think we're supposed to get. These are new rules helping us for private student loans. There's supposed to be an ombudsman now to help people with private student loans.
All right. All right, there's a lot of supposed-tos in there. Let me ask you about one last thing,
sure,
because we always have to make, you know, in Washington, there's always a yes, but. How come none of this applies to car loans and auto dealers?
That is a problem. That was left out. There are strong lobbyists against it, and that's where, when it comes to car loans, people have to be more vigilant than ever. When you're getting a car loan now, you're not protected under this new bureau. And again, this bureau isn't going to kick in for at least, you know, many, many more months, so you have to stay on top of it, too. And once it does kick in, you're right. It's not a panacea. People have to stay on top of it.
Lots of vigilance here going forward for the next few months, and also when you're buying a car, for sure. Beth Koblenzer, Takeaway contributor, personal finance expert. Thanks for joining us. Well, I want to turn now to Greg Robb from MarketWatch.com and The Wall Street Journal. Greg, you've been following Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, who testified on Capitol Hill yesterday about the state of the economy.
The economic outlook remains unusually uncertain.
All right. Bernanke's testifying, Greg Robb. We need a cipher for that ambiguous Fed language. What is he talking about, unusually uncertain?
Oh, I guess I have to light some incense and bring out the green tea. The economy is has hit a slow patch, and people wanted to know what Bernanke had to say about it, and he didn't really say too much definitive. He still thinks the economy is not going to fall into a ditch, and he did talk about some of the things that they could do if it did go into the ditch, but he's hoping that it won't, and he's forecasting that it won't.
Did he put any meat on any kind of Fed chairman bone that we can take away from his testimony yesterday or what you're expecting today that'll give us any sense of how confident the Fed is about the economy now and how long it'll take to add jobs?
Well, he's trying to be the cheerleader for the economy a little bit. He doesn't want to give the sense that he's too concerned. But the recent numbers, the recent data we've had the last couple months has been slow. But he sort of tried to come home to his forecast and said that he looks for steady growth, not growth that you'd like, not growth that'll bring down the unemployment rate, but like slow, steady growth over the next 18 months.
Slow, steady growth, and I think we're hungry for rapid growth, but those days might be behind us, at least for now. Greg Robb, reporter for MarketWatch.com at The Wall Street Journal, watching Ben Bernanke giving, maddeningly vague testimony, as Fed chairmen usually do on Capitol Hill. They don't like to get too specific, and I guess that's
part of... I kind of don't blame them.
Part of being Fed chairman. Yeah, you blink the wrong way, and the market goes into a tizzy when you're Ben Bernanke. So, Greg Robb, thanks.